The book of 2 Timothy. It's one of three letters in the Bible that are called pastoral epistles, or letters written to pastors. Pastors. Now, I need that. Let me give you one little trick. When you read Paul's letters, he always begins, grace and peace be unto you, whenever he writes the churches. When he writes the little preacher, Timothy, and the preacher Titus, he says, grace, mercy, and peace. Amen. The pastor needs mercy. Praise God. The title of the message this morning is Making a Man of God. You say, well, preacher, it's Mother's Day. Well, I know that. Yeah, I know that. And I'm going to talk about making a man of God and the key element that's in it. You see, the key element in making a man of God, other than God's sovereign call and His grace, is a mother's faith. So I want to talk to you this morning about that. A mother's faith and its place in making a man of God. And I want to read to you not only about a mother, but about a grandmother. A grandmother. 2 Timothy and chapter number 1. The Bible says in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, there's that sovereignty, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now look at this. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears. I want to tell you something, men, there's nothing wrong with tears. The world will tell you a man ought not cry. I want to remind you the world is going to hell. Bible says in hell there's weeping, gnashing of teeth. I'd rather weep in this life than weep for eternity in hell because I missed what God had for me. He said, I thought about your tears, Timothy, that I might be filled with joy. Now, how could he be filled with joy over the tears of somebody else? Because they were tears that he shed for his love for the Apostle Paul. You get a chance later, read Ephesians chapter, book of Acts, chapter 20, where the people at Ephesus wept for Paul as he departed from that place. And Timothy became the pastor of that church at Ephesus. He said, boy, when I remember your tears for me, Timothy, how you loved me. He said, it brought joy to my soul. Now look what he said in verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put in thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and a sound mind. Read again with me, verse 5. That's our text. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, he says, dwells that same faith. Now, if you want to read some about the historical background of Timothy and his mother and grandmother and his salvation experience, read Acts chapter 16 when you get home. There you're going to find, as Paul brings to remembrance here, that Timothy was a man of God that was the product spiritually of a godly grandmother and a godly mother. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, I had a grandmother that was a godly woman. She was not a perfect woman. But I can always remember she always had a Bible. She didn't just have a Bible, she read the Bible. I never knew her to have a thin Bible. Every Bible she ever had was about that fat or even bigger. It was big. The more you read a Bible, the fatter it gets. I buy a thin one and I got a thick one here, but the more that you read a Bible, the fatter that thing seemed to get because the pages get crumpled. And her Bible was always fat and it was always nearby. And she read that thing and she may not have understood everything. And people say, I don't read the Bible because I can't understand it. Well, just keep on reading. You're going to find something you do understand. Amen. Amen. But she had a godliness about her. I'm talking a fearful godliness. I'll never forget as kids are prone to one time, we said, well, holy cow. She said, don't say that. Well, I didn't know why. She said, because God is holy. And that word's in the Bible, so don't use it like that. You see? That means something. Timothy had a godly grandmother, and Timothy had a godly mother. Named them right here for us, Lois and Eunice, amen. He said that they were women of faith, and he said, I'm convinced that the same faith that those ladies had is in thee. Now I want to ask you something. How come it didn't name Daddy here? Huh? How come it didn't name Daddy here? That breaks my heart. That breaks my heart. You know something? This church, if it has any strength, I'm convinced has its strength because we've had some godly women that have stuck with us from the very beginning. Through thick and thin and trouble. And I've been accused in my lifetime of being rough on women. But I want to tell you something. This church wouldn't be what it is and neither would a lot of other churches if it wasn't for the godly women that are in that church. I want to tell you, we need some more godly men to go with these godly women. Amen. Some that are able to stand when the tide begins to rise and the winds begin to blow and the flood begins to pour in. Amen. People that know God and that trust God and are willing to live for God. Through thick and thin. We need some men. Men, we need to stand. I'm going to ask, where is Timothy's daddy here? Why wasn't he named here? God help us. But thank God for his mother. Thank God for his grandmother. They were women of faith. And the quality that Paul pointed out here that shined most in Timothy's life was this. He described it here as his unfeigned faith. His unfeigned faith. And quickly, because I know you've got Mother Day plans ahead, I just want to make 3 points about the scripture that we read. Number one, a mother's faith is based on spiritual convictions. You know, I'm getting tired of people telling me, I believe this and I believe that. Having no basis whatsoever for what they believe. Huh? You know where a godly mother gets her belief system? She gets it from the Word of God. You know where my grandmother got her belief system? She got it from the Word of God. Amen. And so a mother's faith must be based upon spiritual conviction. Now that's what Paul says about Lois and about Eunice. Notice, if you will, that he says that faith is scripturally sound. Flip over to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy for just a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. Listen to what he says. But continue thou, he's writing to Timothy still, in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Look here. Amen. A spiritual basis for a godly mother's faith has a scriptural basis. It is scripturally sound. He says here, listen, Timothy, keep on going in the things that you've learned and the scriptures which you've known from a child. Now, where did he get that knowledge from? Not Paul. Paul was his spiritual father, so to speak, in that he led him to the Lord, but he wasn't his physical daddy. He got that knowledge and that teaching and that learning about God and about the Word of God that he knew from his mama and his grandmama. Amen. I want to tell you something. Our belief system as mothers, as fathers, as Christians has to be based upon the Word of God and the Word of God alone. Amen. We spend hours upon hours watching the television. We will sit in a chair and we'll watch a movie for 2 solid hours. Amen. We'll go to a ball game and we'll sit for 3 hours, we men who like sports. But I won't tell you, if the preacher preaches past 12 o'clock, bless your heart, I ain't coming to church. It's just too long. You need to measure, neighbor, eternity against things. Amen. I want you to understand something. We're not here to entertain people. We're not here to have programs, gimmicks, and gadgets and things to make people feel good. This is an hour of the week that we take to get into the Word of God, to learn the Word of God, to preach the Word of God, and to teach the Word of God. Why? Because these kids are not going to get it at the schoolhouse. These children are not going to get it from a psychiatrist, which a lot of them need today. The only place these children are going to get the Word of God is either in the house of God or they're going to get it in the home. Timothy was a young man that was taught by his mother and his grandmother in the Word of God. Her faith was scripturally solid and sound, and what she believed and the convictions that she had was based upon the Word of God. But because we got people today that just want entertainment and want to feel good religion, and honey, there's plenty of charismatics in this world to give it to you. You go help yourself. You ain't going to get it here. As long as I'm here, there won't be nothing but the Word of God talk, because that's what people need. Amen. And if a person's faith is scripturally sound, it'll be spiritually sound. I'm tired of arguing with people who have called themselves Christians, who say they are full of the Holy Ghost of God, born again. They ain't got no better sense than to cover their nakedness. It makes me sick. Amen. Tired of arguing with people and tired of babysitting about it. I want to tell you something. You get yourself in the Word of God. You get filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I don't have to worry about you going down the beach laying in some bikini. I don't have to worry about you going somewhere that you don't belong, amen, because your faith is going to be scripturally sound, it's going to be solid, and it's going to be grounded. And I want to tell you something, neighbor. It'll work for you. It'll work for you. It'll work for you. You see, the problem we got today is that mamas are talking the talk, but they're not a walking the walk. Huh? And daddies too. We can't leave it out. Amen. The problem we got in the churches today is that we're talking the talk and we're not a walking the walk. Amen. That's right. We get discouraged and defeated because the house of God ain't full. When, neighbor, we're not dedicated. We're not committed. I want to tell you something. Timothy's grandmama and his mama were committed to God, and they read the Word of God to him. And that's how he knew what he knew, because he said in chapter 3, verse 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." How many times have our children heard the Word of God? This nation's throwing God away. The only place you're going to get a mom and dad is from us. From the house of God. That's why I appreciate these little babies. I want to tell you, they're important, these children. Being in that Sunday school class. I wish we had more teenagers. But today, mom and dad is worried more about giving them the bounty of this world and everything to make help them keep up with the Joneses and the Wilsons and everybody else. Amen. Not instilling none of the Word of God and some values of life about in them. Thank God for these children and you mamas that bring them. Amen. I want to tell you, according to the Word of God, and what we're reading here this morning, I'll tell you, it pays off. It pays off because it helps make a man of God. It helps make a man of God. And that's what happened here. It was a faith that was scripturally sound. It was a faith that was savingly sure. They knew that they were saved. In chapter 3, verse number 14 there, he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, convinced of," he's saying there. And what was that? About his faith unto salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. You can never help anybody else until you nail down your own salvation. Huh? You can't help anybody else get saved until you get saved and you nail that down. If you're always worried about yourself and your salvation, you're not going to have time or thoughts to be talking to somebody else. Amen. You need to get it down. He said, listen, you know what Mama and what Grandmama taught Timothy about the Bible? They taught him the Bible that by faith a man pleases God, by faith a man comes to God, and by faith a man gets saved by God. Amen. That's what he said here. She's taught him as a child. We need to teach our children from the time that they're small that a person needs to be right with God. And the only way to get right with God is to get saved before God. Amen. That's right. Praise God. I want to tell you something. One day that bunch of Pharisees and Sadducees and his own disciples were surrounded him, and Jesus went to a little child and picked him up. Amen. And he blessed the child, the Bible says. You know what he said? He said, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. They were precious in his sight. A mother's faith is a faith that is based on spiritual convictions. If you believe something, then you should have a scriptural basis for what you believe. And if you don't, then it'll be mighty easy for you to become a part of a cult and burn yourself to death in Waco or ride Hail Bop out of here or whatever comet come by the next time. You ought to know what you believe and why you believe it and have a scriptural basis. I believe this because the Word of God said. You ever had a scripture come to your mind, not because you'd read it, because you'd heard Mom or somebody else use it before? Huh? Yes, sir. Amen. We ought to fill our children with the Word of God, and that's what Sunday school is all about. Amen. Fill them with the Word of God. Now, parents, if we're not filled with the Word of God, how are we going to fill them children? Amen. For some reason, we think Sunday school is just for babies. It's not so. They're getting taught in there on their level, but you and I need to be taught on our level so that we will be what we need to be, amen. Be godly like his grandmother and his mother. Mother's faith is based on spiritual convictions. Number two, it is believed by sound communication. Now, your faith is no good to others unless it's communicated. Huh? You see, we got too many Christians today that come to church on Sunday. They pick God up and they praise Him. When they go out the door, they sit Him back down at the door and they forget about Him until next Sunday when they come back. I want to tell you something. Your faith is not any good unless that faith is being communicated. You're not going to help this world one bit if not somewhere along the line in your life you can't share your faith with somebody else. The Bible calls it the Great Commission. Amen. That's right. Telling folks about Jesus and about what happened to us whenever we got saved. Well, Lois and Eunice had that kind of faith that was believed by Timothy because he received it through sound, solid communication. Amen. They didn't keep it to themselves, but they shared it with young Timothy. Number one, it is communicated by personal education. And back in chapter number 3 again, number 14 there, it says, continue in the things which thou hast learned. He learned them through personal education from Mama and Grandmother. And then it is a faith that is communicated by practical demonstration. Amen. He was assured of it. He was convinced that what they said was so and what they taught was so because they lived what they were teaching. He was assured, hey, listen, I know one thing. My mother and my grandmother, they believe the Word of God because they live of the Word of God. They don't just speak and they don't just preach, but they back it up with their lives. And so young Timothy was convinced, amen, that the message that was being shared was solid and it was true, amen. Amen. We've got people today, I'm going to preach a message one day on why do you go to church? Just why do you go to church? There are a multitude of reasons, and Malachi covers a whole lot of them in the last book of the Old Testament. But listen, we should go to church to increase our faith, to solidify our faith, so that we can go out into this world and in our own homes and thereby share our faith. Brother Cottrell said something in this morning that was right on the nail head. He said that we come to the house of God, we're commanded to, and so we won't get a reward for coming to the house of God. We come to the house of God, what? To worship. To be strengthened in worship and fellowship together. And that is commanded of us. And it's necessary, because if we don't learn to worship, then we'll never be strong enough to go out into this world and to share the faith that we have gotten in the house of God with somebody else. Our faith must be communicated to other people. Moms, our faith has got to be communicated to our children, not with words only, but with our actions. Amen. He was personally educated. He was personally communicated with, and that faith was personally demonstrated unto that child. So much so that he was convinced that mama doesn't just speak with the forked tongue, but what mama says she believes because she backs it up with her life. And the weakness of our faith today in America as Christians is that our lives don't back up the faith that we proclaim. The world's full of cowardly men that will not stand for God. They run the first time that the devil shows up and says, boo. They are concerned about their own personal satisfaction and their own feeling. I want to tell you something. The faith that you've got, God gave it to you to share. And if you don't share it, then it's not going to benefit and it's not going to help anybody else. Amen. I want to tell you, I come to church today to worship God and to have my soul fed, but I'm coming for the reason that to be done, that I might be able to be a blessing to you, that I might be able to be a blessing to somebody else. Amen. You can't fill a glass but once. You can't fill it again till it's empty. That's the way the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God is. When God fills you up like a glass, if you don't pour some out on somebody else, then God can't fill it anymore. And too many of our Christian people today, they're satisfied just to know that they're going to heaven. They're not worried about anybody else if they go to hell. They're not worried about the church and God being in a position to bless it. Amen. They're not worried about sharing anything. But maybe we ought to be. Why? Because it's Scripture. It's Scripture. Our faith cannot be a blessing. It cannot help anyone unless it is shared. I want to tell you, it's not easy. It's easy to say, but it's not easy to do. Because I want to tell you something. There's not a lot of people in this world today that want to hear about Jesus. They'll listen to you about the manger. They'll even wonder with you about the cross. But when it comes to the fact that it was their sin, my sin, your sin that put Him on the cross, that's where they back up. No, somebody else. The old blame game. It's got to be somebody else, preacher. Surely it's not me. Yes, it's you and it's I. Amen. A mother's faith is based on spiritual conviction. A mother's faith that makes a man of God is believed through sound communication. If you don't believe it, you can understand one thing. They're not going to believe it. Amen. Finally, that a mother's faith is blessed by the Savior's commendation. Amen. I want to tell you something. God blesses a mother's faith. Now, God honors faith. The Bible says that's the only thing that pleases God. But I want to tell you, a mama is somebody that is special. We've gotten so twisted in this lesbian homosexual world today, this unisex world, we don't know what a mama is anymore. Huh? Amen. A mama in the world's eyes today just simply somebody can give birth. And they be cows and dogs and sheep and everything else does it every day. It takes more than that to be a mama. We need some mothers in this world. Amen. It takes a mother to take a child and produce a man of God. And there's only one way that it can happen. God has to bless it. God honors that faith. God blesses that faith. And God brings glory out of that faith. Think about the woman Hannah so many times. who longed for a son. She didn't have a child. By the way, in New Testament and Old Testament times, a woman who didn't have a child felt that she was under a curse of God. Now today we feel that children are a curse, and so we'll abort them, we'll neglect them, we'll abuse them, we'll do everything in the world to them. We don't picture them as a blessing from God, but rather as a curse that comes from somewhere, something I got to put up with. And that's very wrong. That explains a whole lot. Hannah was barren. She couldn't have children. She prayed. She said, God, if you just give me a boy, I promise you, no razor will ever touch his head. He'll be a Nazarite. And I'll give him to you all the days of his life. The Bible said that she had that baby. God blessed her with a miraculous child. She had that baby. She named him Samuel. And the Bible said whenever he was weaned, Mama took care of him till he was weaned. She took him to the house of God, to the man of God, and said, here he is. He belongs to God. He belongs to God. You want me to tell you, Mama, the best way to keep your children? Give them away. Give them to God. Give them to God. How do you do that? By demonstrating and communicating that faith that God put in you whenever He saved you. Amen. And absolutely refuse to let anything in this world stop you from doing or come in between you and doing it. I want to tell you, it's the most important thing as a mother you can do in this life. Why? Because it has eternal consequences. And so God blesses it and God commends it. He did. Now, how many times you think, oh, Mama worried about Timothy? If you're a mama, you know how many times she worried about him. I want you to flip back a couple of books in the Bible to the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 19. Listen to what the Bible says about this young man, Timothy. Philippians 2 and verse 19. The Bible says, Paul speaking again, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus, who is Timothy, shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. Now look in verse 20. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. What happened? I want to tell you, God blessed that mama's faith. God blessed that grandmother's faith in the life of this man of God whose name was Timothy. Number one, we see in his life the lasting influence of a mother's faith. Glory to God. Paul said there in Philippians 2, he said, I want you folks at Philippi to know something. Philippi was a church. I ain't got nobody like Timothy. He's a special man. He's a special man of God. Now, where did he come from? He came from his mama and his grandmama's faith. Let me tell you something. I'm leaving this world. You're leaving this world. Amen. If you're not caught up in the clouds, then you're going to be put down in a coffin one way or the other. It's going to happen to you. There is no way to escape. Amen. One way or the other, you're going in one direction, or you're not. But I want to tell you something. Just because you're gone, your effect does not have to be gone. Huh? Amen. A mama's faith continues after she's gone. And after Lois was gone, and after Eunice was gone, that faith which they had continued to have a lasting influence in a young preacher boy, a man of God, named Timothy. The faith had a lasting influence. Amen. Listen, I think about it. It was mentioned in Sunday school this morning by Bernard. What are these young people going to have to face that you and I haven't faced? Huh? I want to tell you. We've got to put the faith of God in them by living for God, by teaching them about God and the purposes of God and the reality of what's about to come upon the face of this earth. So when that time comes, they'll be strong. Maybe they're going to have to be strong. They can't be weak like 99% of the Christians today. They're going to have to be strong or they'll be blown away by falsehood and the things that are going to come against them. It takes a man to serve God. It takes a woman to serve God. No wimps. No gimps. Arkadale. Heaven not full of sissies. Heaven's full of Elijahs. Heaven's full of John the Baptist. Honey, both of them guys just soon fight you as look at you. Huh? I bet you wouldn't go in the First Baptist Church. I'm talking about John the Baptist place. And go to acting yourself up. He'd say, I tell you what, keep it up. We'll lay hands on you. Not the way you think. Huh? But we'll let anybody come in and tear our church up today. Isn't that true? Why? Because if you stand up and you say, hey, this is not right, this is not godly, this is not scripture, somebody's going to get mad. When somebody gets mad and leaves the church, they take somebody with them. And God forbid that the house of God would not be full. I want to tell you something, it's a shame. And by the way, if everybody who was a part of this church was here today, it'd be full. And they ought to be here. It's the Lord's Day. It's not Murphy's Day. It's not Christmas. It's God's Day. It's the Lord's Day. It's what it's called in the New Testament. Amen? Amen. I want to tell you something. Timothy's mama was a Jew. His daddy was a Gentile. Read Acts 16. Maybe that's why he's not listed here. The scriptures were delivered unto the Jews. And no doubt she communicated that to that boy. Listen! Mother's faith is blessed by the Savior's commendation. Matthew 25, Jesus said this. Whenever we stand before Him in judgment, He's going to say one of two things. He's going to say, blessed art thou. You've been faithful in a few things. Now I'll make you Lord over many things. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. Huh? Now I want to tell you something. A person that's not dedicated to their church is a person that does not have an unfeigned faith. Huh? It does not have an unfeigned faith. Now that's what he commended Timothy for right here. He said, I just commend you for your unfeigned faith. Now, what does that word mean, unfeigned? Well, I'm glad you asked. There's a Greek word, and the New Testament was written in Greek. It's the word eupikritos. It's the word from which we get the word hypocrite. Now, in the Greek language, to make something the opposite of what it is, all you've got to do is put ana in front of it. That word is the word ana eupikritos. That word means without hypocrisy. Without pretension, without being a pretended faith, having the mask fully removed and having it exposed for what it is. Now, what was the characteristic of his faith that Paul remembered and that he took note of, that he'd received from his mother and his grandmother? It was this. It was an unfeigned faith. It was not a hypocritical faith. It was not a pretend faith. Now, I want to tell you, and the book of James backs this up, and we're going to be studying that in Sunday school in the next lessons, that your faith is going to be tested and it's going to be tried. Why? To prove of what sort it is. You see, it's easy for a man to come to the house of God and say, hey, I want you to understand something. God saved me by His grace. God called me to do this. God put me here to do that. It's another thing when he gets out here in the world to back it up with his life. It's another thing to get out here, neighbor, and put some muscle behind your mouth. Amen. Isn't that true? If you don't do it, what are you? You're a hypocrite. And if you've ever witnessed and tried to talk to folks about the Lord, they almost always will bring up some hypocrite they've met in life. Who said that he was a Christian, that said that he was a child of God, that said that he knew God, that he was full of the Spirit of God, but his life indicated that he was more a child of the devil than he was a child of God. You know what Jesus said about the religious people of his day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees? He said, you'll compass land and sea to make one proselyte, and when you do it, you're making more, twofold more a child of hell than he was when you got your hands on him. That's tough preaching. That clears the house of God out when you got phonies in it. Amen. I want to tell you something. I've been saved 26 years. And hypocrisy makes me just as sick today, if not sicker, than it did back then when I first got saved. Paul said Timothy did not have a hypocritical faith, a pretend faith. It was real. And he got it from his mama. How you make a man of God, mama? Place your faith in God and live the faith that you believe. Amen. Based upon what God has said. Honey, it don't take a New York lawyer to find a loophole in the Word of God. But every one of them you ever find is false. That's the only thing wrong with it. Amen. 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 And one of the great mistakes that I made in my life is arguing with people about it. I ought to just shut up and say, listen, you do what you want to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. I want to tell you this. I'm going to try to base what I do upon the Word of God. That's right. Because I'm convinced that the Lord Jesus Himself could descend down through the ceiling here of this place, and He could tell some people things, and they still wouldn't believe if they heard it from His mouth. Huh? Oh, yeah, preacher. I mean, if God would speak to me, I'd believe Him. Well, let me tell you what Abraham said to a man who was in the pits of hell. That man said, Abraham, if you'll send somebody back from the dead to my five brothers, they won't come to this place. He said, that's not true. They won't believe if somebody rose from the dead. Huh? Oh, yeah. They may change their ways from a day, but they're not going to believe because of that. You know what he said? He said, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them believe them. You know what he was saying? He said, they got the Word of God. Let them believe the Word of God. You say that you believe something, honey, if you won't believe the Word of God, then you believe anything. And wind up doing nothing. And so we got a lot of do-nothing churches today because people will not live the faith that they profess that they've got. They'll look for any reason in the world to stay out of church. They'll look for any reason in the world not to be committed. They'll look for any reason in the world not to serve. And when you do that, you'll find any reason in the world to complain. Would you please give me some answers, not complaints? Huh? If you're not dedicated to this church, you've got no right to complain about it. And if you're not dedicated to this church and you are complaining about it, then you are probably the problem in this church. God help us, we're talking about eternal things. Things that God commends and God blesses. And one of these days, I want to tell you something. We all stand before God. You're not going to answer for me and I'm not going to answer for you. Now, this is what you tell somebody who says, I know a hypocrite in the church and therefore I'm not going. You just tell them this. On the day of judgment, you're not going to have to answer for one thing that hypocrite does, but you are going to have to answer for everything that you do. Listen, mama, how glorious would it be in that day when we stand before God for God to look at you and there'd be that son that you raised to know God who believed in God because he realized you were real when you believed in God and served God and maybe became a man of God. How great will it be in that day to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord. Wouldn't that be great? That's the best thing you ever hear, Mama. But on the other hand, how tragic it will be for mothers to stand weeping in that day because not only have they lived a life without God that's going to place them in hell for eternity, but they have led their own children there. I want to remind you of something. The first thing the rich man in hell was concerned about was the flame and his thirst. The next thing he was concerned about was his five brothers, but it was too late. I want to tell all of you something today. Mamas, daddies, brothers, sisters, sons, and daughters, you better live for God and you better serve Him while you can because eternity's coming upon me and you, neighbor, just like a snowball in an avalanche. And when we get there in that day, you're not going to look at me and I'm not going to be able to look at you and say, it's your fault! I'll have to answer for my own hypocrisy, for my own faith, and you'll have to do yourself. I'm going to tell you what you ought to do this Mama's Day. Give yourself to God, fresh and anew. Daddy, give yourself to God, fresh and anew. Say, God, I thank you for saving me. I thank you for giving me your word. God, now will you help me to live for you in a way that I can guide my family and my children to a place to believe and trust in God. Because I know if I don't, God, they'll never come to that place. They just won't. They just won't. Will you do that today before it's too late? I won't tell you. It hadn't been seen what God can do when a church will get in place. Total dedication where God can use them and bless them. And until we get in that place of absolute selling out and commitment and letting nothing hinder us from doing what God has called us to do, the neighbor will continue on. Oh yes, we'll have church. Neighbor, wouldn't it be great just to let go and say, God, I want you to have your way. From now on, you're number one, and I'm somewhere else down the line. My family's number two. Huh? Wouldn't that be great? What could God do if all of us here today would make that commitment here this morning? I won't tell you what it takes. It takes a will. It takes a will that's been broken by the Spirit of God, that's willing to say, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus was the Son of God. He was without sin. But when he prayed, not my will, but thine be done. How much more so do you and I, as sinful creatures, saved solely by the grace of God, need to pray that same thing and mean it with all of our heart and all of our faith. God, not what I want, but God, what you want. How do you make a man of God? You give a man of God a mama of God. You give a man of God a daddy of God. Without the grace of God intervening somewhere down the line, without those examples in the home, the neighbor won't tell you something. My boy's not going to be in church. Your children are not going to be in church. They're going to be out here, and they're going to be lost. Why? Hypocrisy seen in our faith. Preacher, I've made so many mistakes. I have too. But I've got good news for you. It's not too late. Don't live a life of guilt based upon past failures. We all fail. But thank God we can be renewed and rededicated from day to day. God loves us that much. And God won't throw us away if we'll just come back to Him any time and say, God, here I am. Send me like Isaiah did. God bless Eunice and Lois. Let's stand together. Our Father, thank you for these words we've read today. For the testimony of Paul that this man Timothy was a man with an unfeigned faith, and that he was a man like no other man that the Apostle Paul had. Young pastor, but a man that come to know God early in his life and was convinced that it was real. Oh God, will you bring us to that place of reality? God, not to look at others, not to look outside of ourselves, but God, deep within our hearts and see if what we have really is real. And if it's real, then are we sharing it with our family and a lost world in a real way? And if we're not, will you convict us? Will you convince us, God, of that wrong, that we might repent of it this morning, ask your forgiveness, and then get up and live for you like we hadn't done for a long time. God, this church needs you. I need you, God. I can't do a thing. And I know, God, without you, I can do nothing. Oh, God, with you, this church and these people can do anything. We can tear down strongholds. We can turn back the tide of the devil in our lives and our homes. And we can see folks that we love and that we know come to a saving knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you do it for us here this morning? If there's one that's not saved, they're not convinced that if they were to die this evening or the Lord was to come, that they'd be in hell. Oh God, will they give you their heart this morning and be saved? That Christian that knows they've not lived for you, God, in a dedicated, committed way like they should, will you, Father, speak to their heart and love them to Calvary this morning, to a place of rededication, where our Father, we might be strengthened, encouraged to live for you, God, in these last days. When you do that for us, we'll give you the praise, for it's for your sake we ask it. Amen and amen.